All right, here we go. Second hour of Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So the next big thing that's floating around out here is Kate Middleton. Royal insider Kate Middleton was murdered in Illuminati sacrifice, okay? So, according to Diana's best friend, who also revealed the ritual killing had long been planned as part of the royal family's occult traditions and blah, 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 blah. And supposedly Tucker Carlson's got sucked into this somehow with some person as they're trying to say is all faked and all the rest of this stuff. Now, we're going to play clip 15 from Really Graceful. She's been around quite a few years, and this is kind of her take on it. And so she said she did a deep dive. And so let's go ahead and listen to what she's talking about. Go ahead and roll 15, Sam.
Listen, it's a weird time for the quote-unquote royal family. These people are at the center of every major drama regarding all the Blackmail Island revelations. But it cannot be understated how they shape culture and influence worldwide policy, whether you like to admit it or not, whether you believe they're just figureheads or not. The WEF's woke prince turned King Charles III recently announced his cancer diagnosis, which means his son William is next in line. But curiously, William's wife, Kate Middleton, has been missing since December. You know I love a good timeline, so here we go. The last time Kate was seen out in public was on Christmas Day, when she went to a service at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Norfolk, England. On January 17th, nearly 3 weeks later, Kensington Palace reported that Kate had undergone stomach surgery at the London Clinic. The specifics in her health were unknown, but officials stated that the surgery was successful and that she was not cancerous. They also stated that she would be in the hospital recovering for 2 weeks. This all led to amusing rumors online that she was getting a Brazilian butt lift. The following day, William was photographed driving away from the hospital where Kate was recuperating from surgery. But on January 28th, a Spanish journalist broke the story that Kate was in a coma, citing an unnamed palace source. It should be noted that Prince William and Kate's nanny is Spanish, and it is assumed that she was the unnamed source, and that's why Spanish media got a hold of this story. Kensington Palace directly addressed these rumors, which they never do, refuting the claims, of course. But about a week later, on February the 5th, King Charles announced his cancer diagnosis. He was receiving therapy for an enlarged prostate, and following his surgery, King Charles III was photographed leaving London Clinic. In contrast, there were no pictures of Kate leaving this clinic, even though it was reported that she had gone back to Windsor so she could recover at home for at least 2 or 3 months, according to Kensington Palace authorities. And they said she wouldn't return to her public duties until after Easter, at the end of March. But this is really weird to me that they didn't get a photo of her leaving the hospital because it's just crazy because when Prince Philip was photographed looking like a shriveled up raisin, just a corpse. The palace released this jump scare photo of him. How did they let that slide? On February 25th, the British royal family member Thomas Kingston died after a traumatic head wound. After attending lunch, the 45-year-old banker was found with a rifle in a locked building at his parents' home. A little over a week later, after Thomas Kingston's death, Kate was photographed. TMZ posted a grainy paparazzi photo of Kate in her mother's car. And everyone's saying she looks like Katie Holmes or her sister Pippa because she's missing her mole on her lip. It gets even stranger because on March 10th, they released this Mother's Day portrait of Kate and her children. So after 2 months of recovering from stomach surgery, Kensington Palace released a Mother's Day photo of Kate smiling with her 3 children. The palace simply stated that the reason why William wasn't in the photo was because he took it. But you'll notice she's not wearing a wedding ring. This photo was released to give this idea that Kate's happy, the family's happy, and it basically was released to settle all these accusations, you know. But the Associated Press and several other photo agencies issued a kill order requesting that their clients remove it from all platforms. This was due to worries that the photo had been modified or photoshopped. And now Kensington Palace is claiming that Kate said she edited the photo, like she's sitting behind her MacBook at some palace on Photoshop. Or she's sitting there on the couch on her phone buying the $50 Facetune app and editing all this weird stuff in her photo. I don't think so. In Prince Harry's memoir, where he complains about being rich and royal, he recalled a situation in this book, an event where his brother William was behaving violently, abusively towards him, describing the instance where William hit him and William wanted Harry to hit him back to make it even, make him feel better. So this information, mixed with Kate and William's supposed, allegedly, Spanish nanny's allegations that William is violent and Kate is in a coma, there's this theory emerging that William beat up on Kate and she's now dead. There's a rumor that he beat up on Kate after he found out she was having an affair with Thomas Kingston. I don't know. There's a rumor she died from the vaccine. There's a rumor she's tied up with all this little St. James Island blackmail, just like Prince Andrew. And quite frankly, that's probably not too much of a stretch because the whole royal family caters to people who abuse children on the daily, like Jimmy Savile or Lord Mountbatten. When Blackmail Island is used to force politicians into supporting wars of conquest and genocide, it is interesting that the royal family seems to be swept up in the net. What could that mean? And, you know, the majority of these public marriages are fake and they don't actually really like each other anyway, just like Diana and Charles. Arranged. Forced. As most royal marriages throughout history were. What do y'all think, Internet friends? I don't have a conclusion. I'm not even saying that this is a worthy topic of discussion. It very much feels like a distraction, but on this channel, I've discussed the royal family frequently, documenting the rise of King Charles and what his inauguration meant for the world. I just had already done the legwork and gossiping with my mother about all this, so I decided to relay it on here, too. I do think
you can
it
stop
is
it
important
there.
To it.
Let's see here. On March 12th, what have they done with our loved ones' bodies? And then it's got Kate and William next to it, and it's talking about funeral homes and blah, 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 blah. And then there's some floating around about, let's just say that there's a big announcement coming from the Buckingham Palace about something very mysterious. So I don't know. It's kind of just, it's an interesting thing if she ends up not coming out of the shadows. Very, very wild. Okay. Gloves off. Democrat Tennessee state senator calls for riots after Republican lawmakers pass pro-police bill. Senator Charlene Oliver, black female, was responding to the passing of legislation that prevents cities from restricting police officers from making certain types of traffic stops. Speaking to the press, Oliver, co-founder of the social justice warrior activist group, the Equity Alliance, vowed that we're going to fight. So, yeah, we're going to fight. Dr. King said the riots are the language of the unheard. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you keep silencing us like this, what do you think our district's going to do? We see the ratcheting up of racial tensions, the whole Advil ads, the Gemini thing, erasing white people. They're really running the racial destabilization operations into high gear. There was an interesting on March 5th. There's an interesting article on Christians for Truth. How communist Jews rewrote history to convince gullible blacks they was Kangs. Okay. Benighted blacks have always been putty in the hands of the Jews, easily manipulated and morbed and molded into willing golems. I've talked about this for years on the broadcast. A mythical Frankenstein-like monster created by rabbis to destroy their perceived oppressors and enemies. As the earliest European explorers have attested in their extensive writings, what they have witnessed when first setting foot in sub-Saharan Africa was utterly appalling. A primitive people living as bare subsistence, hunter-gatherers, no written language, clothed only in animal skins and grass skirts when not completely naked, practicing cannibalism, brutal slavery, and wanton and gratuitous cruelty to each other, and I would add to animals. Cannibalism, that's interesting. We're seeing that bubble up into the ethos now, into the zeitgeist with the Haitians running around doing this whole cannibalist stuff. So it's a great article. It's definitely, it's on Christians for Truth. I would definitely look and read that over. Now, there's another one that just dropped 2 days ago. This one's real good. Jews reveal their plans for the destruction of America, wage war against Iran, and lose its empire. Couched in a Talmudic twisting of Old Testament prophecy, Jews have revealed their plans for the destruction of Christian America, who they believe is Amalek or Edom, the ancient enemies of Israel, by luring America into an unwinnable war against modern Israel's greatest existential threat, Iran, a plan that has been in the making for decades. And it gets into all the stuff the Houthis are up into and the ratcheting up of tensions between the Yemeni Houthis and basically British, American, the usual suspects, okay? And then it brings up this kind of prophecies. The book of Jeremiah makes a prophecy that in the end of times, the Edom will fight a war against Yemen, which it'll lose. And it gets into all of this, the Talmud and Rome being Edom and everything. It's a very good article to kind of flesh out. But I'm not going to go through it all in the interest of time. But I bring your attention to it. It's definitely worth a read, okay? I wanted to get this. Oh, let's get clip 11 ready, Sam. This universal basic income crap is not going away. And it seems to be gaining steam wherever the libtard Marxist nuts are in power. They are trying to bring it into existence. Okay, so let's listen to clip 11.
Big issue. When you look at Minnesota, for example, they have just enacted a $100 million program to offer universal basic income.
Minnesota's Democratic leadership now proposing a sizable guaranteed basic income program.
Asks for $100 million for 2025.
$100 million. This came out 2 days ago, March 12th. Then you have L.A. This came out 20 hours ago. And this is not just in L.A., the entire state of California. Then you look at Texas. This came out today. They gave out $5,000 to 1,000 people, to 1,000 families. So they gave out $5,000 to 1,000 families. It might sound like, okay, maybe these are, you know, sporadic type of situations. No, no, no. There's 200 cities right now that are enacting these policies. And there's a list of mayors, hundreds of them. I mean, it's literally the entire country moving in this direction. But a lot of people don't think this is actually going to happen. They think, you know what, this might happen 20 years from now. No, no, no. In the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you're going to see this popping up everywhere. It's going to be, you're going to start getting checks in the mail. Now, some people might say, hey, this is a really, really good thing. But what they don't realize is this money's not coming from thin air. It's going to come from increased taxes. It's going to come from massive changes to the overall economy. And I think that, you know, the time to get rich is running out. So I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to give you the facts to help you in position.
Think about it. They're pulling the rug out, folks. The mark of the beast is rolling out. They're collapsing the economy on purpose. You know how many articles that I've got in my in what I send myself every week about planes in the airline industry problems, about Boeing? You know, this guy, he gets suicided, the big whistleblower saying that the whole freaking company is putting out crap products that basically you wouldn't want to fly in. They don't want us flying. They don't want us traveling far. They don't want us having any kind of economic mobility. the blanket is, you know, like the steel blankets coming down around all of us, and people can't even see it. Now, where was this at? Look at this. This is EU claims digital ID wallet will be voluntary. Now, think about the UBI. Think about the purposeful collapsing of the economy into a you got to get it from the government because there's going to be nowhere else to get it type thing. EU claims digital ID wallet will be voluntary. India said the same before it became mandatory. India's digital identity scheme, Aadhaar, A-A-D-H-A-A-R, is a prime example how the goalposts can shift over time. Will the EU follow India's example once it launches its own digital identity wallets? Well, of course it will. This is the beast kingdom. The European Union Parliament says, the European Soviet Union Parliament says the digital identity wallet will be voluntary, which is what India said about its own digital ID scheme before government agencies began mandating it for certain services. On February 29th, the EU Parliament adopted an updated regulation to the digital identity wallet, which European lawmakers assured would be used on a voluntary basis. According to an EU press release, the EU wallet will be used on a voluntary basis, while the updating the European Digital Identity Framework briefing adds that the wallet is voluntary and free of charge for individuals. While businesses may incur costs, it does not replace existing identification and authentication means, but complements them. However, with digital identity, they can say it's voluntary, but without it, you might not be able to access goods and services such as opening a bank account or collecting benefits, as was the case in India. India's digital identity scheme, Aadhaar, is a prime example how the goalposts can shift. However, the same year, Forbes India reported Aadhaar was always voluntary, but over the last year, more and more states and government agencies were making its use mandatory for a host of services, from buying cooking gas to registering marriages and renting houses. Then in 2017, Reuters reported that between January and March 2017, various ministries make Aadhaar mandatory for welfare, pension. See, all of us, you know, that are getting towards retirement, see, this is how they're going to get everybody. Oh, you can't get your Social Security without this mark. You can't access your pension from your employer that you worked for your whole life. Oh, you got to have this biometrics. You see, all your whole life you freaking work to get a pension, and then these bastards, right when you're going to be collecting it, in order for you to get it, guess what? You're going to have to be on the biometric system. You see how this is tied in with the UBI. The UBI, the biometrics, and then the social credit score, your cryptocurrency data monitoring deal, to where you're going to have to work in order to get your credits, and you're going to have to work in the right industry. You're going to be having to do the right things, because guess what? If you don't, you're going to persona non grata, like some of these people in China that we've seen some of this. World Bank president advocates global digital ID scheme at a tech summit. And this guy's he looks like a Sikh or an Indian of some sort. He's got a turban on. World Bank president Anjay Banga and other unelected globalists, digital identity is the key to unlocking access to goods and services through public-private partnerships, the fusion of corporation and state. President of the World Bank calls on governments to launch digital identity schemes. This is from March 12th, so that they can be linked with the private sector and existing infrastructures. Speaking at the World Bank Group's inaugural Global Digital Summit last week, World Bank President Ajay Banga said that the digital identity should be embraced worldwide and that governments should be the owners so they can guarantee privacy and security for their citizens. Yet, I just trust the federal government to have my back and, you know, guard my privacy, because I know that they've got my best interest at heart at all times. Can't you just tell from the last few years how much the federal government loves us? This is a sick, sick world. It's full of devils. UK monolith mania. Fifth metal artifact found in Wales fuels mystery speculations. Another week, another seemingly supernatural mystery coming from the UK. This time it's yet another installment of the years-long metal monolith conundrum, this time in Wales. A fifth steel monolith shaped like a giant Toblerone has been spotted on a Welsh hill. Locals in Hay-on-Wye spotted the 10-foot-tall block of steel resembling a distinctive shape of the Swiss chocolate bar on Hay Bluff near the Powys town at the weekend. And so out of something, one of these science fiction movies, now we got monoliths popping up. And just like good old Stonehenge, where you can look at construction sites, pictures where they're made. Come on, folks. They want us to think, oh, the aliens are putting it there. Give me a break. TikTok ban a Trojan horse grants power to ban websites, not just apps. Law targets hosting services or app stores, not foreign adversaries. And this is Thomas Massey. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. The TikTok ban is nothing but a Trojan horse, granting the president unchecked power to ban websites, not just apps. By targeting internet hosting services and app stores, this law recklessly expands government overreach, shifting the blame onto U.S. or offshore entities instead of addressing alleged foreign adversaries directly. Sam, get clip 16 ready. This is Mark Dice. Because good old Ben Shapiro... It's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory to say Congress is banning TikTok for Israel. Go ahead and play clip 16. You got 16? Oh, yeah, it's Dice.
During the Republican presidential debates, neocon Nikki Haley revealed the real reason why the chorus to ban TikTok has gained so much steam.
We really do need to ban TikTok once and for all.
Is it because of all of the gender bending propaganda, which basically caused wokeness to go from pocketed, isolated instances to a full-blown pandemic?
And let me tell you why. For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, every day, they become 17% more anti-Semitic, more pro-Hamas based on doing that.
What she means is they become more sympathetic to Palestinians and Palestine and become more critical of Israel. Here's some leaked audio from Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the Jewish ADL.
But I also want to point out that we have a major, major, major generational problem. All the polling I've seen, ADL's polling, ICC's polling, independent polling suggests this is not a left-right gap, folks. The issue in the United States of support for Israel is not left and right. It is young and old. And so we really have a TikTok problem, a Gen Z problem, that our community needs to put the same brains that gave us Tagli, the same brains that gave us all these other amazing innovations, need to put our energy toward this, like, fast. Because, again, like, we've been chasing this left-right divide. It's the wrong game. The real game is the next generation.
But it's not like this is some big secret. Jonathan Greenblatt has been quite open about his concerns and his goals for TikTok.
We need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying and intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussions.
No repercussions, meaning people aren't getting censored or banned for their criticism of Israel. This from the Jerusalem Post. House set to vote on bill that could trigger TikTok ban with support from major Jewish group. And that's not the ADL. This is another group, the Jewish Federations of North America, representing hundreds of organized Jewish communities. But like many things regarding certain agendas, if you point it out, without enthusiastically endorsing and supporting it, then you run a high risk of being called a racist or an anti-Semite. But what else is interesting is there are numerous Democrats and even some Republicans, well-respected Republicans, who oppose the TikTok ban. People like Senator Rand Paul, who says that it's a misguided overreach and a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, and disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. Now, he's a little bit of a boomer. He doesn't understand that it's not going to be banned. It's just going to be sold to an American company, so none of the TikTokers are going to lose their precious app. Here is New York University professor Scott Galloway making some very valid points, although he does have Trump syndrome.
You can stop it there. That's pretty funny. Rand Paul's pissed. Trump just endorsed the worst deep state candidate of them all. Donald Trump just endorsed the worst deep state candidate this cycle. Mike Rogers from Michigan is a never Trumper and a card carrying member of the spy state that seeks to destroy Trump. You have to ask yourself who gives Trump this awful advice. Who's next? John Bolton. Trump. Look, Daddy Warp Speed. He's a hot mess. And I know a lot of people think he's our only hope to save the country and everything else. But he just blurted out some crap about how, you know, the shots now are going to save us from cancer and all when people are getting all these turbo cancers. I mean, I don't know. It's a real weird situation with this guy. All right, here's the break. We'll see you the last half hour coming your way.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Coming your way, Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's read a bit out of Protocol 5, Protocol Design, shall we? And think about the draconian moves, the ratcheting up. Think about Daddy Bush, everything under the Clintons, the 8 years of W, 9/11. Oklahoma City bombing, Sandy Hook, all these operations. And then think about the last 3 years under Biden and just the J6 operation, everything else. Now, listen to that in light. Think about all this move towards totalitarianism that's been happening. Protocol 5, what form of administrative rule can be given to communities in which corruption has penetrated everywhere? Communities where riches are attained only by the clever surprise tactics of semi-swindling tricks, where looseness reigns, where morality is maintained by penal measures and harsh laws, but not by voluntarily accepted principles. Look at all these people. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. See? So the only way morality is maintained is by the justice or injustice system and harsh laws, but not by voluntarily accepted principles. Remember, what was it, John Adams that said that the Constitution was designed for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So the more people become secular, the more they become licentious and just crazy out here in the streets acting a fool, the more harsh the penal system's going to be. And the elders of Zion knew this, and that's why they run the porn industry. That's why they run the rap music industry. That's why they run modeling in Hollywood. You see, they do it on purpose to destroy the morals of the people. Then therefore, the government that was given to us, that we all grew up in the 70s and earlier, guess what? It's no longer adequate. They have to become more draconian. Why do you think they're dispatching the National Guard now into the subway systems in New York? This has been done on purpose. The federalization of the police, the taking it away from local authorities. This is all part of their little plan. Where the feelings towards faith and country are obliterated by cosmopolitan convictions. Oh, I'm a global citizen now. You see, you don't care about your country. You're part of the world. You're part of the North American Union. You're part of the European Union. You're an EU citizen. You're not a Brit. You're not a Frenchman. See? What form of rule is to be given to these communities if not that despotism, which I shall describe to you later? We shall create an intensified centralization of government in order to grip in our hands all the forces of the community. We shall regulate mechanically all the actions of the political life of our subjects by new laws. Oh, bump stocks. Pistol braces. We just make this stuff up. These laws will withdraw one by one all the indulgences and liberties which have been permitted by the Goyim, and our kingdom will be distinguished by a despotism of such magnificent proportions as to be at any moment and in every place in a position to wipe out any Goyim who oppose us by deed or word. That's where Shmuley Boteach and his little sleaze daughter get their little marching orders, you see? And you can't have any Goyim like Kanye West or Candace Owen, these Schwartzes coming up in our face talking smack. All these Edomite white Christians, can't have them. Sam, get clip 9 ready. Senate Democrats block bill to stop illegals from being counted in the census. Most Americans do not know that the U.S. This is Elon Musk said this. Most Americans do not know that the U.S. Census currently counts for purposes of voting power all people in a district, regardless of citizenship. Senate Democrats just voted unanimously to defeat an amendment that would have stopped counting illegals for congressional seat apportionment and electoral college presidential votes, he wrote. Since illegals are mostly in Democrat states, both the House and the presidential vote are shifted 5% to the left, which is enough to change the entire balance of power. This is a major reason why the Biden administration is ushering in record levels of illegals and doing so few deportations. Go ahead and play clip 9.
But you could see their plan. You can see the deep state's plan. And actually, Representative Clay Higgins put this out, and he said, with Biden's open border policy waiving in 12 million illegal aliens, we estimate there are 45 million illegals in America now. That's 60 congressional seats. The left doesn't want a citizenship question on our census. They say it's racist. Really, it's because the Democrats don't want you to realize what they're doing. And this is why, going back in time, Trump wanted this question on the census. Because this way you can see how many people are illegal and how many people are legal in this country. But again, they don't want you to know. So this way it makes it easier for them to take control. Now, do I think that this is going to work?
You well can go ahead and stop there. You know, the treason is everywhere. Not one Democrat voted. They want more electoral college votes. They want more congressional seats. So they let in. I mean, that's just one reason. You see, this is a multifaceted platform why they do this. White genocide, voting power, blah, 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 blah. Let's get clip 1 ready. This was Owen Schroyer with brother Nathaniel. And this is good old Trump's, one of his possible running mates, Governor Kristi Noem, up there in, was it South Dakota? Go ahead and play clip one.
Governor Kristi Noem, who I think is great. I think she's a great governor. But then she goes out and does something like this. Ensuring the security of God's chosen people. And she passes this anti-Semitic hate speech ban. And she says she's protecting God's chosen people. Let me just get your raw take, your raw response to that.
They ain't chosen anymore. They unchosen themselves. When they crucified their own Messiah, they unchose themselves. And Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate ahead of time to warn them. You're going to reject me, your house is left unto you desolate, and you will not see me until you confess me as Mashiach. And the messianic confession is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jews can still have a chance. They can come back in. They can be part of the church.
Well, I don't want to make any blanket statements, and we'll kind of lean into that more here. But here's what I find, even remove whatever you might think about the Israeli lobby or the Jews. Imagine if somebody passed a bill saying they're going to protect black people from hate speech, and they said this is God's chosen people bill. Imagine if they said they're going to protect Asians from hate speech or white people from hate speech, and they said this is for God's chosen people. Can you imagine the response if they signed a bill to protect any other group from hate speech and said that you're God's chosen people? Or any other group just said, we're God's chosen people, you're less than us. Can you imagine any other group getting away with this?
No, no way. The blacks would protest themselves. Candace Owens would be the first one. She doesn't stand for this stuff.
That was what was very strange to me, is to just say, but okay. So here's what I, when I was in prison, I read the Old Testament. And it was a reminder of a lot of things. I hadn't read the Old Testament in quite a while. And I think that there's a realization that I've had, multiple realizations. Now, Israel has been in and out of wars and suffering and triumph for millennia. When you read the Old Testament, sometimes God protects them and gives them victory. Sometimes God lets them be destroyed. This is according to the Old Testament. There's nothing new there. And so, but what I think is going on, it's very similar to what we saw in the time of Jesus, where why did the Jews crucify Jesus? It wasn't all Jews. Some Jews believed in Jesus. Some Jews eventually were converts and believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But there was a group of political Jews that saw Jesus was a threat to their power and their distinct supremacy as quote unquote God's chosen people. I think that that's the same thing that we see going on now. There's groups of political Jews that want to be on top of the political totem pole, and any threat to their power, let's say like TikTok, or any threat to their narrative, well, then it has to be shut down.
I mean, you nailed it, man. Why don't you be me?
Because my beard's
better than I do.
All right, you can all stop right, it there. Hey, Sam, while we're on this, go ahead and get clip 17 ready. Now, this is Anna Kasparian, the kooky chick from the Young Turds, okay, over there on the far left, Marxist nuts. But this is, and, you know, you got Chunk Yogurt, who runs the Young Turds, and he's a Turk. So, and I don't know if Anna is a Jewess or not. She seems like one. She could be Slav. I don't know. But I think she's Jewish. Don't hold me to that. But let's listen to her go off in clip 17.
The American Prospect has obtained documents from AIPAC's annual policy conference that reveal the organization's lobbying strategies, which, of course, are extreme and overwhelmingly favor the interests of Israel over our own country. So let's get into what the documents say. And this is reporting by Luke Goldstein over at the American Prospect. And he says that the lobbying files promote the familiar, though contested, line that Israel does not target civilians, which, I mean, they've got terrible aim then if they're not targeting civilians, considering the insanely high civilian death toll.
Yeah, I just one quick note here. These are the talking points that they're feeding the politicians that they have given campaign contributions
to. That's
right. So they're like, okay, now here's the money, but along with it comes talking points. You have to pretend that we accidentally killed 25,000 women and children. Like, oops, we meant to not kill them because we're angels and the no good terrorists mean to kill them on purpose. We just are the world's worst military, bunch of incompetent nincompoops. And we just keep murdering and murdering women and children. Go tell everybody that. Hey, Fetterman, bitch, go tell them that, right?
Yeah.
And Fetterman, of course, was in the audience going, yes, sir, where's the money, sir? Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. And he's literally doing as they say as we speak.
Sam,
so we'll get to that in a moment.
If go ahead and stop it there. See if you can find the one where it's a tweet from John Miller, and it says, go off, Anna. Talk your S-H-I-T queen. Play that little Twitter part. That's the one I wanted you to play on that information liberation article. Yeah. Israel's chickens come home to roost, and then it's the first tweet right there from John Miller. Press play on that. Right, but it's right at the top. And it's a tweet from John Miller. It's right up under the picture of her.
Yeah. AIPAC is evil. AIPAC is evil. Evil. My fellow Americans, are you okay with that? Are you okay with a lobbying group representing the best interests of a foreign government telling you you need to bust your ass every day, work a job that you likely hate, and have a portion of your earnings taken from you by our federal government and funneled to the Israeli government so they can commit atrocities in the Gaza Strip? Are you okay with that? Because I'm not okay with that. And nothing gets under my skin more, okay, than hearing these pieces of crap say things that make it clear that they feel entitled to our money. Entitled. That gets under my skin more than you guys understand, okay?
All right, so now we have to flesh this out. I mean, for the young turds, this little chick, Kasparian, to be able to say that, something has been, and then Chuck Schumer's talking about Netanyahu needs to go. And all, I mean, something has been disseminated to the Marxists, like Anna Kasparian and Young Turds and all these people now that all of a sudden, I mean, she's talking the way that we were talking 10 years ago, okay? And so something has shifted in, I'm not going to say it's the psyche. I'm saying in the permission levels. Somebody has told them that they can say this now on the air, on YouTube or wherever they're at, Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Somebody is giving them permission. These people do not act with any kind of personal freedoms or sovereignty, not in any of these Marxist nutty left networks. Something's changed here to where either their masters are saying, okay, well, the left has gone to the anti-Israel side to the point where you guys, in order to save your own appearance of authenticness, you guys can, you know, it's very weird to me to see this playing out. AIPAC is evil. AIPAC is evil. Evil. And so maybe something's going on here to where, like, the Christian Zionists, like, you know, the John Haggies and so forth, they're going to, you know, there's going to be some sort of a real dust up between the Marxist progressive regressive left now and the Christian right, where, you know, Trump and all of them are all staunch pro-Israel types. You know, the Shapiros, you got these governors like Noam and DeSantis signing this legislation, basically curtailing people's speech because they say it's anti-Semitic, blah, 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 blah. So there's a real weird dynamic here going on, and it's worth watching. And now I'm going to try to get through. I'm going to try to get through. Just run through some of my tabs here. Over 80% of tattoo ink contains chemicals that cause organ failure. I don't know if that's Elon Musk roasts the Southern Poverty Law Center as a scam in an ex post. Well, we've been talking about that for decades. Covered that one. Let's see. Oh, Bill Clinton's friend and pastor charged with raping adopted Haitian children. This guy named Corrigan Clay. He adopted two Haitian orphans and opened an evangelical kindergarten in Haiti, where he was visited by friend Bill Clinton during the blah, 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 blah. He was arrested on child sex charges by federal agents, according to unsealed indictment. Really? Birds of a feather. Mm-hmm. Gates partners with Bezos to build vast network of fake meat laboratories. We covered that. Study finds that electric cars pollute 1,850 times more than fuel-powered vehicles. During a 1,000-mile journey, EVs release 1,850 times more pollutants into the surrounding environment, gas-powered vehicles, due to the heavier weight, which eats through tires. Okay. Let's see. We know about the massive influx of, oh, Sean King, Talcum X, fake black guy. Sean King and his wife convert to Islam. On the auspicious first day of Ramadan in 2024, renowned American activist and writer Sean King, a.k.a. Talcum X, alongside his wife Rai, embarked on a profound spiritual journey by converting to Islam. Conversion ceremony officiated by U.S. Muslim scholar Omar Suleiman was a moment of significance not only for the Kings but also for their followers and the wider Muslim community. This event marks a pivotal chapter in the lives of the couple, known for their activism, particularly within the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let's see here. Chinese police to patrol the streets in Hungary this summer. Why would they do this if they were not preparing for China to rule Europe? In fact, the WEF plan is for Russia to invade and devastate Europe and then for China to import 100 plus million workers and extinguish European Christian civilization once and for all. Orban has at least taken his mask off. He never gave up being a disciple of George Soros. Well, we'll see. We'll see if this is true or not. Okay, this was on fromrome.info, and they've been kind of pro-Ukrainian, anti-Russian. So Chinese police officers, this was on RT, I think, set to patrol alongside Hungarian officers. That's weird. Very weird. Fitzpatrick informer, Soviets founded the State of Israel and Zionism. Balfour Declaration, a decoy. This is an interest. It's on Fitz Info, FITZinfo.net. It's definitely worth a read. End time headlines. Visa says Palm biometric payments have a promising future. I'm sure they do for all you jerks. Payments giant Visa showcased its pay by Palm biometric technology in an event marking the transformation of its Singapore Innovation Center last week. During the event, visitors were invited to use the palm reader and link their signature to their payment card for a transaction. Isn't that nice? Don't you just love it? Top Democrat Schumer calls for new elections in Israel, saying Netanyahu is an obstacle for peace. All the Likudniks and right-wingers are pissed. Scores killed in Angola, anti-sorcery rituals. About 50 people have died in Angola after being forced to drink an herbal potion to prove they were not sorcerers, police and local officials said on Thursday. The deaths occurred between January and February near the central town of Kamakupa, according to Lucia Philemon, a local counselor. More than 50 victims were forced to drink this mysterious liquid, which, according to traditional healers, proves whether or not a person practices witchcraft. And just think, we're just taking in thousands and thousands of these people here. Isn't it great? that they're going to be doing all this stuff here, right in your backyard. A small Oklahoma city elected a white nationalist. Now residents face a decision. This was a really just crazy article that everybody should read. It's on MSN. And you can just say Oklahoma City elected a white nationalist. Now residents face a decision. And they throw out every kind of epithet over at this guy, Nazi, white supremacist, blah, 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 blah. Any white person that wants to stand for white interests, blah, 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 they're going to get raked over the coals perfectly in the fashion in which they did it in this article. And so it's definitely worth a read. And the city is Enid, E-N-I-D, Oklahoma. You just type that in, Enid, Oklahoma, white nationalist, and you'll be able to read all the drama and epithets and everything else. Crazy. James O'Keefe did that big undercover thing with the guy from the assistant director in the office of the Secretary of Defense. And he says, I think we should repeal the Second Amendment and take all the guns away. And it's some gay guy that O'Keefe acted like he was on a date with. These are the type of people in your Pentagon. Illinois Democrat Pritzker tells abortionists he's proud of their work. Your sacrifices and your work make me proud. Abortion provider appreciation day. Your sacrifices. Yeah, sacrificing these kids make him proud. Boy, I'll tell you. And I had so much more to cover, I just couldn't get to it. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. I hope you enjoyed the material. Well, not enjoyed it, but a lot of it's hard to swallow. But yeah, a ton of things I couldn't get to. All right, folks. Everybody take care. I'll be waiting for the new world to come. All you innocent people who don't care about me. All you innocent people who I hear the angels call and the rain starts falling. Thunder and storm.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.